You're staring at my sheet, aren't you?
Huh? Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what you got for me there.
I was going to ask you, like, what's your skincare routine, and then make that as a joke, but obviously you read it as a joke. So anyways, let me start off with something else. I'm going to read something, and, you know, we'll try to make sense of it together, mostly from you.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
So I think this is from one of your posts. That chapter was called Courage. That girl was the bearer of it. However, it was buried underneath the fear of failing herself. These are the goals. That's when I have to achieve it. I have it in me, she said. And then she did. There was considerable movement still. She felt stuck. There was a sense of fulfillment shadowed by a sense of stagnation. What is that feeling of emptiness deep within? She kept asking herself. I'm putting in the work, I'm making progress, I'm receiving the fruit of it, she said. But where is it leading me? And that was the question that opened up this chapter. She dug deep, it wasn't easy. While she was on the quest of finding the answer to one question, she uncovered a lot more. It's getting uncomfortable, she said. But did she stop? No. She kept digging. With time and inner work, different layers began to unfold. She slowly came to understand that she held the reins too tight. So with that as context, what does like courage mean to you in that sense?
Courage to me is just having the strength to do what you want to do, basically. Like you have something in your head, or like a goal or whatever, and you have the strength in you to pursue it, irrespective of, you know, what is around you or whatever's holding you back. You just have the courage in you to move forward.
And
the strength.
And like, how do you, like, not how do you per se, maybe you as well, but also like, how does one go about it? Like, I mean, do you think it's more like it's in you, and is it like finding it in you, or do you think we have to, you know, we have to find inspiration outside and then find, you know, look at somebody and then maybe realize even, I mean, find the courage from them? Is it more internal or is it more external?
It's very subjective. It's person to person. We definitely have it within us, but we can also, you know, get it from the people around us, or, you know, just from somebody on the internet maybe who really moves you, or a movie, you know, a phrase. Just, it could be anything, right? But it's very subjective to people. For me, it is, I thought I can get it from the other people, and I did. But then I figured that it's within me. Like, I have to push myself first. And if you make up your mind to do anything, you definitely can. So that was the place where I found my strength. Just making up my mind to do something.
Do you remember this post that I read to you? Or?
Yeah, I do. I was in a very sad place when I wrote that.
What made you? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This was a couple of years back, I think, no? Or was it?
No, it was very recent. This was my transition from out of cult and into where I am now. So yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You no longer work at Calcutta.
No, I don't.
We'll get to that anyways. So you mentioned a lot of things. I mean, you know, setting goals, achieving them.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many books about, you know, not only about
self-help,
about achieving goals, time management, etc. I think if one goes and, you know, looking for such answers, I think lifetime can be spent.
Yeah, you can dig deep. Yeah.
In that, like, how, so what is like your approach, and when you write this, you know, there are the goals, that's when I have to achieve it, I have it in me, what are you thinking, and, you know, how do you kind of approach, like, you know, goal setting and goal achieving, etc., and maybe failure of set goals as well, you know?
So like I said, I thought I have it in me to push forward, and then through work I figured, like, I was sure that I had it in me to get to whatever I wanted to. And then, you know, when I told you that I was in a sad place when I wrote that, I was very happy at Cult. I was doing what I love. I was making people dance and, you know, bettering their health, making them happy. It was perfect. Like, the plan I had in life, it was, like, perfect. It was executing itself very, very well. But I felt like I just didn't belong where I was. Right, and this is probably the first time I'm saying it out loud, but I really didn't feel like I belonged in that space, even though everything was with what I was doing, not the company per se, but what I was doing.
I mean, I don't want to get this. This is not like a, what is that, like a, you know, against cult or
whatever. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
The work that I was doing, I just didn't feel, I just felt very empty within myself, right? So that's the place.
That's very interesting, actually. Okay.
Yeah. I'm telling you, like, since I was a child, all I wanted to do was dance and make people dance and just create a really happy environment around, because, you know, that's one thing I feel like the world is really missing, like people to make the world a better place. And I wanted to be that, you know. And according to my plan, it was going like A1. It was on point, but it just didn't feel right. And that's when I had to dig deep. That's when I had to gather all my courage to, you know, firstly, make myself realize that this is not where I'm supposed to be, and to step out of there, and then set other goals. And to set those other goals, I have to think differently. My perspective has to be different, because what I'd set for myself, like I told, was getting executed. But what I wanted, I wasn't clear about, right? So my goals were a little hazy, and, you know, it's a weird place to be in. So my step one was gathering courage, and yeah, that's how that post came about.
So you mentioned about, I mean, you also spoke about digging deep, right? Like,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Digging deep, finding layers. Let's focus on the digging deep part. Huh. I mean, what does digging deep look like? I mean, is it more, let me try to project that into my life.
Hmm.
So for me, digging deep might be, I don't know, talking to friends about
mm-hmm.
certain issues.
Mm-hmm.
And asking their perspective as to what they might have gone through.
Hmm.
Mostly perspective collection,
hmm,
I think.
Hmm, hmm, hmm.
And I think even reading-wise, I mean, that's also just it's perspective collection. You're just, you have certain questions and you're looking for answers. So that
yeah.
would be like my digging deep, per
yeah.
se.
Yeah.
Is that yours as well? Or what is your process of digging deep look like?
That makes sense. Like what you said is one way of digging deep. And like I said, it's subjective. For me, I did talk to a lot of people. I went for therapy. Therapy was one way, you know, I really dug deep. Like just talking to one person who's not going to be judgmental, like her job is to not be judgmental, right? That really helped me like dig deep. And when I say like dig deep, questioning yourself, like finding answers for it yourself. You take perspectives of everybody, you talk to them, you do everything. But again, at the end of the day, you just come back to yourself, right? And when you rerun the whole thing, that is called digging deep for me. Like finding answers by yourself, through yourself, to me is digging deep. That's what I did.
And this process of digging deep, right?
Hmm. It's not a nice place to be in.
that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, basically, that's what I'm trying to get at. In the sense, how long, I mean, how do you know, like, how does one know that that the questions that they kind of ask themselves, there is a resolution happening, and now is the time to stop and act, you know, turn those insights into action, maybe. Can you talk a little bit about that, like, in a sense?
So I don't think there's a stop. Once you start questioning yourself and finding answers, it's a never-ending process. Because once you find that aha moment, you're like, oh, you know, the answer is that. And maybe I can do this from that. Maybe my life can be this from this, right? You have so many moments like that, and you never want to stop. And, you know, in the process, you just start learning so much about yourself, and you never want to stop. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned layers.
Hmm.
Beyond dance,
hmm.
I mean, I don't know if you have layers within dance as well. You can
hmm.
speak to that if you
hmm.
want.
Hmm.
But are there any layers of yourself that I think my impression of you at least is mostly comes from, you know, dancing, you're a dancer,
hmm.
and everything kind of surrounds you with that art form.
Yeah.
Are there any layers that, you know, people are missing that, you know, which might be integral to you as well, which like a lot of people maybe don't know about?
So I also associated myself with dance, like through and through. To me, in my head, I was like, if there's no dance, then who am I, right? But interconnecting it to digging deep, while I was digging deep, I figured there's so much more to me. I am so much more as a person, even if, you know, I keep dance as just one aspect of my life. And this I wanted me to understand first, and then the world. So I think there are like n number of layers that everybody has, right?
Really?
First, definitely.
Okay.
I feel
more
like
cynical than you. Okay. Okay.
First, I feel like you have to unfold it for yourself. You have to recognize that about yourself, and then you nurture it. You accept it for who you are, and that's when you can show it out to the world. And this transition process, the whatever I wrote there, the caption is basically based on this, you know, unfolding the layers, uncovering the layers and showing the world who you truly are once you figure that out for yourself.
So, if we could dial back the clock and, you know, in a few years back when you were actively, you know, in that choreography role or wherever you were working and, you know, what you were doing, I'm making the assumption that maybe at that point in time also you thought that, you know, wow, this is the right place to be and, you know, this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. And now, in retrospect, since you've lived a little longer now, you can come back to a different conclusion today saying, you know, maybe that's not exactly what I want to do and maybe that's exactly not what I want to live. What I'm getting at is, what happens in a few years if you, again, there's a reevaluation of your beliefs and how do you know that you're in the right place now? Because, you know, you were in the right place back then and then turns out you're not in the right place. So how do you kind of, what is your approach to kind of, not reevaluate, but kind of compromise, or I don't know, to kind of tackle that? Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I feel like if I know in my heart that I'm happy.
But I'm sure, last time in your heart also, it was not the case.
I told you I was feeling empty.
Okay.
When I'm happy and I'm full, I think it's the right thing to do. Like, in my head, I'm in the right place. But if I'm not, if my cup is half full, half empty, then I know that's not the place I'm supposed to be in. Yeah. So that, yeah.
Okay.
I should just be happy with what I'm doing.
Okay.
Yeah, my heart should be there.
The reason I kind of pressed on that is because, I've also been in cases where I've been extremely confident about X, and then, you know, a couple months down the line, a couple years down the line, oh my God, what the fuck was I thinking? And, you know, there's a constant reevaluation, and I think confidence in one's ability or the position that they are at that point in life is also important to lead that life during that time as well.
I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't reevaluate, you're really not growing. You'll be stagnated then. That's why I think reevaluation is so important.
What other interests did you have besides dance?
Oh, it was only dance. It's like I want to explore more of life, I'm thinking of design, because design has been a little close to me since college. So yeah,
what?
I'm exploring that. So I did my BCA in college, and whenever we had to code, I hated it, but I loved the designing bit of it. So
does that mean you're planning to you're planning
switch?
To
no.
Move away.
I am not moving away from dance. Dance is my, you know, like happy place, right? I want to dance for myself and I want to dance with the people around me, but I also want to do something else now because I think I'm way more capable than what I'm already doing. So I just want to explore.
So you were supposed to get into. Or at least attend LaSalle, I think. I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right. LaSalle College of Art, Singapore.
Yes.
But you ended up at BALT.
Yes.
You're staring at my sheet, aren't you? You're staring at it. Can you explain, you know...
what happened?
What... why... Can you walk us through why you wanted to get go to LaSalle in the first place? What is LaSalle as well? And what happened there and, you know, how you ended up at BALT?
Okay, so LaSalle College of Arts, Singapore, is an arts college, of course, and I was supposed to get a degree in dance there. But what happened was I injured myself. I had like a knee injury back in time, so I had to rest for 6 months, and then by the time it had passed, the opportunity had sailed, right? So after
that... What do you mean it sailed? I mean... because you were injured, you couldn't go, or you said,
yes.
Even if I go, it doesn't make sense?
Yes, I failed my medicals, in the sense, because I was injured, I couldn't pass that.
Oh, okay.
So that sailed, and I was really upset about it because, you know, like I told you, I had a plan in life and I wanted to do this, XXX in this amount of time, etc. Didn't pan out.
I'm so sorry. I've been interrupting a lot, I think.
That's okay.
I've gotten that feedback many times. What was the part? I don't know the part. Like, what did
okay,
you
want me to talk about LaSalle now, or you want
no,
me
no.
to tell you about
Let's
the
go.
Part?
I mean, we come back to LaSalle then, you know.
Okay.
Come back to LaSalle. In the sense, like, what was that goal? You said you had
yes,
things to
I
do.
Had it all planned.
What was the plan?
Yeah, so school, college, and in college be a part of the dance team and learn a lot from it and et cetera, et cetera, and start my own dance school. Before that, I was supposed to go get a degree, learn from all these amazing people, gather their thoughts, their perspectives, how they see dance, their approach towards it, come back to India, start a dance school, make it really big here, help people. So I wanted to branch out into different, levels of society, as they say. Like, I wanted to help underprivileged kids, underprivileged people, and then, the other side of the society, have everybody come together and just dance. Like, I wanted to make dance big in India, right? So that was the plan.
What do you mean big dance big in India? I mean,
very commercialized, right? So you come, you do these many classes, you learn so much, you pay so much, and then you go back home, right?
Okay.
And not everybody can afford whatever's running in the market right now. I wanted to break that and make it, accessible for everybody, all levels of society. I just didn't want to make it for the people who could afford it.
I'm really sorry, but what's like the standard fees of a dance class? I have no idea, actually.
So it varies. So 8 classes per se is some 2,500, 3,000 bucks minimum.
Okay, for 8 classes. So
yeah,
two
classes per week, however you want to divide it. And that's not really feasible for everybody. Say a school kid who wants to, come to dance classes and is not very well off, how will he or she learn? The talent is there, but the platform is not being provided. So I wanted to do something for them. So that was my whole idea.
Uh-huh.
Like, cater to whoever can afford it and whoever can't. Set up an NGO, et cetera, and have just everybody come together and dance.
Mm-hmm.
Without any inhibitions or just anything stopping them. That was the plan.
I mean, the reason I asked that is because when you said dance is not that, I want to make dance even bigger, because my mind quickly went to TikTok, man. And I cannot imagine dance being bigger. I mean, in the sense, like, everyone is fucking dancing, man. Like, I mean, there are 12-year-olds dancing to trends which, I'm not familiar with. So
I agree.
In that sense, like, dance is like so pervasive in our society.
It is. But like I say, it's very commercialized, and everybody is doing what the other person is doing. I want people to be creative. I want, them to dig deep and bring out who they are. And, dance to me is nothing structural or nothing that comes from technique. It is. Well, it is. One part of it is. But what you bring from within, your creative, gene that's dancing, I want people to explore that.
I agree with that, but I don't agree with your characterization of what is that? Everyone's copy. I feel that because I've heard that a lot.
In the sense.
I feel there is a very fun element in that copying as well. I mean, people actually disregard these trends and people copying each other. And I mean,
mm-hmm.
I feel the whole point is to copy.
Well, that's how trends are set.
The thing
yeah.
that they're complaining about, that is actually the thing that makes it so wonderful,
I agree. That in a sense is. But how will you learn? How will you explore who you really are if you don't dive in and pull yourself out into the platform?
I'm not really convinced. I mean, we are not here to convince each other. So.
Yes, yes. I mean, it's just my perspective, because you asked me what I wanted to do, right?
Sure,
this is how I see it. Like, I come a little more from the creative background, so I know the joy you find when you create something on your own, right? So that's what I wanted people to feel, that sort of joy.
Mm-hmm. Shall we go back to LaSalle? You wanna,
yes.
Wanna
yeah. So LaSalle is arts college where I could have gotten my dance degree, and after that I was supposed to work in Singapore for a bit.
Was there any particular reason why you chose LaSalle? Because it seems like Singapore, like, I mean, generally when we think about higher ed, we think about US, Europe, UK. Was there a specific reason you chose LaSalle? Or?
I had a couple of relatives, and my parents were only willing to send me where, they think it is safe. That's why Singapore.
But Singapore is also
pretty good.
It's one of the best cities, countries in the world, man. Really. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, things added up well, and I said, why not? To me, I just wanted to dance. Yeah,
And once you applied, you gave the medical and...
Yeah, medicals, I feel, because I was injured at that point in time. Like, right before medicals, I got injured.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't go ahead, and I was in Bangalore and very upset about it. Waited for a bit, worked at Orchids International.
As soon as... Immediately after your 12th or immediately after your
MCC? Immediately after my 12th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, this was before your BCA?
Yeah,
oh,
before
this was
my
long
BCA.
Back.
Yeah, this is very long back.
Oh, I was under the impression this was after your MCA.
No,
it's
supposed
like
to do my degree from there.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. This was a long time ago.
Oh, that was a huge job. What is that? That's a huge U-turn then.
Yes, it is. I had to come back and do my BCA and all of that. Yeah.
From dance to coding. I mean, from dance to Python.
Yes.
Understood.
Yeah. So did that.
Walk us through that phase though. I mean, what were you thinking around that time?
When things didn't pan out?
Yeah, things. I mean, I know you were heartbroken, but can you walk us through that heartbreak?
I mean, I honestly believe that whatever happens, happens for the best. And I truly believe it. I'm not just saying it for the heck of it, but I really believe in it. So I to myself said that, you know, something else will pan out and I will still be in the dance field. So I was hell-bent on that. And I went back to coding because I did well in school. And I had a merit and stuff that came from school. So my parents were like, huh, BCA it is. So went into that. In 10th, I got a merit. So I got 98 in computers, 98. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's why my parents thought it's the best course to choose. And I went ahead and did it. And I pretty much enjoyed it. Like, my head was really not into the education bit of it. I went to MCC to dance. But, you know, my family was like, you know, you've got to get a distinction and then you can pursue dance. So
did you get a distinction?
Yeah, I got the distinction and I pursued dance and moved ahead in life. Yeah.
Okay. You seem... you're very stoic about it. I mean, I was expecting, like, I don't know, I was crying for, like, I don't know, 3 weeks and all that, but...
No. I was okay with it, honestly.
Okay. Do you mind if we take a 2-minute break?
Yeah.
So, I think you studied, I mean, we know you went to MCC, which is a girls' school.
Girls' college, yes.
11th and 12th also, I think you did it in a girls' school.
Yeah, I've been
MCC.
In a girls' institution throughout.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, like you said, I think first and 10th also, some Francis Xavier.
Francis Xavier's.
What is it like, I mean, studying in an all-girls school, first school, then 11th and 12th, and then the 3 years of bachelor's. I'm sure,
mm-hmm.
I mean, even if you're accepting, what is that, this is my life, but I'm sure the agony or the joy... the joy or agony, whatever you are more comfortable with. I'm sure there are levels to it, or, you know, at every stage, or there are not. I don't know. I'm thinking.
Well, I didn't know the other side of it to feel bad about where I am. So
I'm sure you had friends in, like, co-ed schools, right? Like,
yeah, I came from dance class. I mean, I had a lot of guy friends in dance class,
mm-hmm.
but I never, like, you know, correlated it and told to myself, okay, why don't I have boys in my institution? My life would have been different. Nothing. I was okay with it, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had the best of both worlds. In dance class, I had, like, a lot of guy friends. In school, I had a lot of girlfriends. So, yeah. Worked for me. No. I was never, like... sad about it. No.
I would have killed myself, man, if I was put in, like, especially I think the reason I spoke about levels is I don't know, man, I think from first to 10th grade I think it's okay because I don't know, you know, just I wasn't thinking so much about, like, the other sex, but maybe undergraduate years I think it gets a lot more fun and I think it's nice if you know, if there are various sexes. I agree
in a way. It's your perspective.
I really, I mean, it really gets a lot of fun in the UG years as opposed to...
Now you're making me feel sad.
That's why I was like, I was just trying to understand, like, what if I had gone to an all-boys school? Like,
mm-hmm.
That would have been nuts, man. Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there's only so much drinking that you can do and there's only so much, what is that? Hey, bro, let's go, I don't know, wherever that you can go and, you know, and yeah. Something to think about, so you were a dance fitness trainer in Cult.
Yes.
What made you get into dance fitness training?
Oh, it just happened.
Can you explain the... What do you mean, like, it just happened?
So after college, I worked as a dance teacher at Orchids International School.
Mm-hmm.
And 6 months through it, I got a call from one of my friends saying that Cult had auditions going on for dance fitness training. And since I wanted to stay in the field of dance, I thought, you know, why not just go audition and see what it is and see if I enjoy it or not. And just worked. I mean, I got through the auditions,
mm-hmm.
got through the training and got classes. Then I loved it because I was doing what I loved. dancing with people. So I transitioned from dancing with kids to dancing with older people, and I liked it. Yeah.
Did you take dance lessons while you were younger?
Oh yes. So I started getting trained when I was 5. I joined Shamakdava's Institute then, and I was there till I was about 15, 16. Yeah. So I got my formal training from Shamakdava's.
And were you into classical dance or like, I don't know?
I have done classical for a short bit, for about 2-3 years. I've learned Bharatanatyam and Kathak, but I figured that I like Western dancing more. So I continued with Shamak for the longer haul.
Mm-hmm. I should have asked you this before, but what does dance like mean to you? In a sense, like, what role does it play, and how do you kind of look at it? Like,
you know, when you asked what dance means to me, my heart kind of sinked, because it means. I don't think I can put it into words and tell you that this is what dance means to me. It just holds a very close spot in my heart. I don't have words for it, honestly. It's a really big deal for me to be able to dance and just, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this has been throughout?
Yeah, throughout. I just knew that I should be dancing, and this is what I want to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it, you know, that gut feeling. And it has stayed, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you worried that
it'll go?
Will,
no.
You're not worried about that?
No. I mean, I'm all about going with the flow, and if the flow has caught up until here, I hope it stays, and if it doesn't, I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm. So coming back to your fitness training, what is the thought you about? I'm sure when you're teaching a class, not everybody is going to be the best dancer out there.
Mm-hmm,
I myself don't have much patience.
Mm-hmm.
I run out of patience pretty quickly. How is it for you? When you see somebody, you're teaching some move, maybe it's the easiest move ever,
mm-hmm.
and this motherfucker is just he's just not picking it up. And
mm-hmm.
do you go what has it taught you about teaching per se, and how have you kind of evolved? I think from the student perspective to, I think now you're giving classes and having people,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people under you, etc.
Yeah.
So what does that transition make?
When I was growing up, my teachers were extremely patient with me, you know, until I got a particular movement or how many other questions I had, they were patient enough to answer it for me and to help me. And that is that taught me a lot. That inspired me to be a good teacher, you know, I don't want to beat you up because you're not getting a certain thing. I want to help you through it. And that to me defines what a good teacher is. And I want to be a good teacher. And it's like a promise I've made to myself that I will be there for people who need me. And even if they don't need me, I'll just have my eyes on them and, you know, get everybody to one level.
What does that look like? I mean, when you say, I will be there for people who need me, what does that look like? I mean, is it more
being patient and being kind, you know? You might just find 10 other teachers who just want to, you know, put across whatever curriculum they have or whatever choreography they have and just move on. Right? But I want to be the 11th person who doesn't do that. Right? So that.
Mm-hmm. How did that impact when COVID hit? I mean, I'm sure you were still a trainer.
I was still a part of
that.
Yeah. So I'd moved parallel. So I'd moved from dance fitness training to the digital platform, and the digital platform was doing pretty well. And during
COVID, you had moved it?
So finally, we'd ideated the whole digital thing before COVID hit. We didn't see it coming at all, but everything was already ready, thankfully.
By digital, you just mean you had recorded videos of yourself, is it? Is that what you mean by digital?
Yeah, so there is the Cult app, right, where there are different sessions playing and all of that. So we'd already started recording those sessions before COVID hit. So when COVID hit, all these recorded sessions were already available for us to put on the app.
Mm-hmm.
And I had moved to this digital platform. So I was handling, you know, the shooting and ideating the whole thing, etc., etc. So there are different things that
I
did.
What do you mean ideating? In the sense of
putting the sessions together.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The production. I helped with the production, etc. Scripting. A lot of other things.
I'm not sure, actually. By scripting, you mean
what we say in the session?
Oh, that has to be scripted, is it? Like
initially, yeah, until you get the hang of it. Because being in front of the camera is not the easiest thing to do, right? And you need a script to be running, at least in your first few sessions. So I used to help in that. And just to put the whole show together, we were say, three in the core team. And the three of us came and put the whole thing together.
I'm sorry for my ignorance. I have not used the Cult app. And,
okay.
So I follow YouTube, so I'm just trying to project this thing. Okay. So when you're making these scripts, it's mostly like what is that? Do you have sessions for like dance and then maybe HIIT training and all?
Yes, we have all parallels. We have a lot of formats on the app. There's dance, there's HIIT, like you said, there's strength, there's cardio, there is yoga, different types of yogas, etc., etc. Like it's a whole, you know, everything coming together on one app.
Did you find any differences just on the teaching part? Did you find any, like, was it, I don't know if you taught during COVID, but if you did, like, did you find it, like, not challenging per se, like, did you find, like, some major differences that you found while teaching during in class and, like,
On camera?
Like,
I love being in front of the camera. It's a whole different vibe when you're in class and you're dancing straight away with people live.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're shooting, it's another different... It's like two different things we're talking about. I love both.
You don't have like... I mean, some people find it really difficult to... like, I hate online recordings. I mean, as we were initially supposed to do this, I think, a long time back. And but as much as possible, I try to push online recordings because... I don't know, my preferences for offline, so not a huge fan of online, but you don't have that, you seem to be loving the...
Oh, I loved it from day one. I was very nervous in my first shoot, but after that, I mean, I just got accustomed to the whole thing, and yeah, it worked pretty well.
I think I also saw that you like being on stage as well.
Yeah, I love it.
So, can you talk us through that feeling in the sense of, you know, being on stage and being on camera? Like,
it's magic.
What do you
mean? It feels magical, like when the spotlight is on you, or rather even not, when you're just on stage, right? And when you have people watching you perform and they're just smiling at you, and it's such a brilliant feeling. It's beautiful to be up there.
Would it be as beautiful if people were not there as well? Or
yeah, of course. It's not just people who make it magical. It's the whole feeling of being on stage, of just moving and feeling it from your heart, feeling it from within. And when I say people, when you're communicating with them through dance, right? You know what I'm talking about?
I actually don't.
So dance, I can say, is a form of expression, right? It's a form of communication for me. So I can just move and you can understand what I'm doing.
I can relate to that in the sense, I don't know if you watched this TV show called It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I don't know if Okay, anyways, digression. But when you say communicating through dance, so there is a I'll just give you like a 1 minute synopsis in the sense. So there is a character in that TV show who's gay and who's a homosexual, and he's coming out to his father. And the way he does it through his dance.
Right.
So he dances.
Yeah.
And so... Are you talking about that? Like, I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Like those feelings that come out.
Yeah, there's a certain emotion you are feeling and you're really emoting it and you're putting it across to your audience, right? And even if you have one person in your audience, or say 10, or you just don't have an audience, you are still emoting. You're in that state of purity, you know, where you're thinking about nothing but just emoting straight from your heart. And that to me is magic.
I buy most of what you say, but I'm really not convinced with the people not being there. I mean, I really feel even though someone is performing on stage, I genuinely feel that the audience is like part of the play. I mean, it's part of the act, even though they are not incorporated in your dance or whatever art form it is, like maybe singing or singing or comedy.
Right.
Comedy is very integral. I mean, honestly, you take your cue from their laugh. So comedy is an extreme example, but let's say even singing and any other art form, I think people, without the people it gets, you're not sure, like, you know, at least that's what I feel. I feel audience is very integral to...
They play a huge role,
huge role.
It just elevates the whole thing to another level. But I'm saying with or without, you are still doing what you love doing. And that is magic.
Okay.
Take shooting, for example. If I'm in front of the camera, I don't have an audience, but I still have to perform like I have an audience, right? I still have to connect with the members across, right? So it's I mean, your perspective is right, and this is what I feel.
Sure. Oh my god. Okay. Just on that also, I think this kind of relates to even people who create content, I think, on Instagram, I think on Reels. I think it's much more helpful if you already have like a, you know, let's say you already have a large audience who you know when you make that video are already there, than when you have, let's say, I don't know, like no one is there to, your fingers are crossed hoping that this video, you know, gets viewed by a lot of people. Are you getting what I'm saying? Like,
now that is you waiting for approval then.
Exactly, exactly.
Right?
I think I'm an approval waiting kind. I think, you know, I'm more of an approval waiting kind.
Right.
You know, there are people who don't give a fuck. I think
right.
I'm not one of those. Yeah.
So I am a little on the other side. I do it because I want to do it and I want to perform a certain way. And I definitely hope that the audience, you know, receives it well. But if I don't do it from a place of certainty that I like it, my audience will not be able to like it. That's what I believe. So I like what I do first.
Can you repeat
I do
that?
It for myself.
If you like it, your audience will not like it.
No. If I do it and I like it and I do it from a place of certainty, okay, I like it, that's when my audience will like it too. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I put my best foot forward.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's how I think.
Understood.
I don't do things for the approval of it. My approval is necessary, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I don't. And that's why I take breaks, right, from Instagram. If I needed that approval over and over again, it'll become an addiction to me. Right? And when I take a break, I just step back and I'm like, okay, wait, let me like reevaluate where I am. Is the content I'm putting out, you know, suiting me as a person, showing people who I am as a person? And if that is that, then great, I will put out more content. But if it's not, then I'm going to take a step back and see where I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How often do you do that?
Oh, very often these days.
Very.
Because I told you, right, I'm reevaluating where I am in life and what I want to pick up other than dance. Right?
So where are you in that stage of reevaluation? Where would you say you are?
I told you that I've zeroed down on design.
Oh, fuck yeah. I'm so sorry.
So it's that. So I'm seeing how I can incorporate that into dance and, you know, find another parallel. I also did my yoga certification recently and explored that part of life.
Really?
Yeah. And now I want to bring yoga into dance, right? And merge it and make it like one different format.
Can you do the full split?
Not yet. I used to be able to do it in Shamak, but yeah, body's become a little rigid now. With all the, so when you do dance fitness, your body is like dancing in one structural form, right? So your body gets very rigid. Now I have to like loosen up and then.
I've been trying to do the full split for about 2 months now, on and off.
There's no on and off. There's only on or there's off.
Yeah, mostly off it is.
That's why it's taking 2 months.
Yeah,
it'll take lesser than that if you are on.
I've seen some YouTube videos who claim that they have done it in 15 days. I find that hard to believe, but I don't know. And I have
all bodies are different.
Yeah. Mine, I don't know how my body is going to react, but 15. I'm a little desperate about the full split. And I've seen 16-year-olds do it, man. Like, I feel very embarrassed, like, not able to do it.
Age is never a factor, honestly. I told you I could do it in Shamak when I was a kid or when I was a teenager, but now I can't.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you can do it at any point in time.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about it.
Do you work out as well? Or?
Yeah, I do.
What do you do?
I do a mixture of cardio, strength training, and yoga.
Every day?
Not every day. Like, so every day I don't get the time to these days, but I at least get in about 4 to 5 days of workout in a week.
What does your day look like? I mean, what does your day-to-day life look like?
So it has changed now. I was in Rishikesh for a month-ish. My routine was different there, and I'm just back now. So my routine is slightly different here. But I'll tell you what my ideal day should look like.
No.
Because the life that I was living in Rishikesh is ideal. That's the kind of life I want to live.
Okay, let's walk through the Rishikesh.
Okay, so we used to wake up at 5:30 in the morning. I'm gonna like include all my folks.
Friends, huh?
Yeah, my fellow yogis.
Fellow yogis.
Yes.
Was it like a camp or something?
It was a teacher's training course.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm a certified yoga trainer now.
Oh, you went to Rishikesh for the yoga.
Yes.
For the yoga instructional.
Yes, yes, yes.
Understood. So that cannot be your routine because I mean that's forced down upon you, right? Isn't it?
Oh, it was beautiful. I wish I could do that every day. But city life is different. City life is very different.
But anyways, walk us through that Rishikesh one, and then maybe I'll push you for your without any force.
I'm going to get back to that very soon. I just had a little health issue, so I had to jumble around my hours. But I'll get back to Rishikesh lifestyle. Yes. So we used to wake up at 5:30 and we had like mountains all around us. So we used to take like green tea, step out into the balcony, sip on green tea and see the sunrise every morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then head into pranayama. After pranayama, we had an hour of pranayama every morning.
What is pranayama like?
Right breathing, basically. Easy way to explain it to you is just right breathing.
You just breathe from your right nostril.
No. Correct breathing.
I'm so sorry.
Yes.
That's where I am, yeah. Okay.
It's just correct breathing.
You just breathe. What is correct breathing, bro? Breathe in, breathe out, really.
No, there's a particular way you're supposed to be breathing, right? Not like that. Maybe afterwards I'll show you how it's done. That and like variations of it for different things.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so we had 1 hour of pranayama, then followed by a yoga class, and then we had a break, and then we had an anatomy class, and then mantra class.
Okay, I was going to ask anatomy, but mantra seems more interesting.
What did
they do in mantra?
So they taught us what mantras really are, and they taught us a couple of mantras, and we've written exams for it, by the way. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a class for that specifically.
Like these mantras are supposed to, like I'm thinking of these mystical, I don't know, man, mantras. Is that what you're talking about, or
it's
or is
the
it
normal mantras that we
say,
like in as a prayer, like say Om Bhur Bhuvah Svaha.
Oh, understood.
You know, those kind of mantras.
So
we were taught the significance of each, the meaning of each, all of that in that class, in that one class, followed by a break. And we had some great food, sattvic food.
They would give you free.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they would give you
throughout the day.
Understood.
Yeah, yeah. That, and then we had yoga philosophy, and another yoga class, and meditation. So my day used to get over by say 7:30,
mm-hmm.
and then dinner, and then sing and dance with my roommates, and then crash.
Okay.
Yes.
I was going through a course on Indians, but anyways, point was. Apparently yoga is mostly, I used to think yoga is mostly about asanas and poses, but it's much more than that, right?
Mm-hmm,
apparently,
mm-hmm.
Like, it's mostly about like how to eradicate thought.
Yeah, it's basically
kind of
a
thought.
Lifestyle. Yoga is just a different lifestyle.
Yeah.
And asanas is one part of yoga. It's not yoga as such.
Right.
Yeah.
I think most people, I don't know, average people would consider like yoga is just doing like, I don't know, poses.
Asanas, yes.
Asanas.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Commercialized. That's because yoga is commercialized. It's put across like that, right? So it's very famously known as just asanas, but it's not.
Understood. This whole program, like, how do you feel now? I mean, when were you back?
I came back on the 2nd of December. I did a trek and then came back to Bangalore.
Are you feeling any like noticeable changes after doing that?
Oh yeah, I'm much calmer and I feel much better within myself right now. Like less chaos and more peace.
Really? Maybe I should also take that.
No, definitely. 100% recommend it to just about everybody.
Really?
Yeah.
What made you transition out of cult? I mean, not out of cult, I mean out of your previous job or whatever.
I told you, my cup was empty,
mm-hmm.
and I had to fill it, and I didn't want to do injustice to the company, the members, the people around me, by just doing what I'm doing for the heck of it, right?
You were there for a long time, I think
3-4 years.
Yeah, 3-4 years. That's a long time.
Yeah, it is a long
it's
time.
It's a long fucking time, yeah.
Yeah.
I
had the best time there, honestly. Like, it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was that hard, though? I mean, the... Was it hard for you to let go, or?
It was very hard for me to let go. I told you it was the best phase. Like, it was insane. I learned so much. I just kept dancing. And I got to interact with wonderful people, gained a lot from them. So it was a hard transition, but I had to make it because I wasn't coming from a place of authenticity. I was just doing it for the heck of it after one point. And that's when I knew that I had to step out and, you know, seek for what is missing and then come back there if I want to.
How does one know when someone is not being authentic? Like, I mean, whatever job they're doing, I mean, whatever work they're doing, like, how do you know when you have moved out of, I don't know, giving your all? That sounds very corny, but...
yeah, exactly. You are right.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean, right? So,
yes.
And from out of that to like, now it's a day-to-day thing, like, you know, now
yeah.
I've got a schedule to kind of
yeah
settle.
When you're just working like a robot, that's it for me. I
no, but I mean, if you take that argument to its logical conclusion,
hmm.
which I hope I am, is hmm. I mean any art form or any work that you do will finally be 9 to 5, right? In the sense that
mine was 24. Mine was not 9 to 5.
I don't know how sustainable that is, but
I told you I enjoyed it.
Even okay.
You're speaking to a workaholic.
I mean, that's a different debate, but the new transition, I mean, have you found the new have you found the other side of the path or the other side of the road once you did transition out of cult, or are you still trying to figure that out?
Well, I've been exploring. I told you I did yoga, and then I figured that I like design, so I'm going to start studying it, and I'll see where that takes me. Honestly, I don't want to, you know, put a full stop and say that this is it, this is what I want to do. I'm just going to keep exploring now. Like, I'm not going to have like set timelines or whatever, at least for the next couple of months. I just want to explore. That's it I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And see where my heart does a little dance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I noticed in a lot of your, at least if I'm reading those right, a lot of colleagues and a lot of mentors had an impact on you and the way you kind of think and
yeah.
the way you are.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about, you know, what kind of role did they play? How important is to have like mentors? Yeah.
For me, hand-holding is extremely important. Like, I find it more easy when you tell me how to do a certain thing rather than, you know, just coming up with whatever and going ahead. If you give me like at least the outline of something, then I will execute it the way I think I should execute it. And for me, feedbacks are extremely important. Like, even when I take classes now, the online classes that I'm running currently, I ask people for feedbacks because I want to know how I can improve, how I can move forward, etc., etc., right? But if you don't have a mentor, or if you're not willing to accept help, right, I feel like growth is very slow, right? It slows itself down and you're not progressing. In my hand, you're very slow in the graph. So for me, mentoring was very important, and I found like excellent ones at every step of mine. At work, I had one or the other mentor, and everybody was brilliant. They were incredible people, and they were incredible at what they were doing, like work-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So it was brilliant.
Was it? Was it like you went? I mean, you kind of approached people, or was it? Did you see the need by yourself, and you know, you kind of looked around and saw maybe he or she can be someone who can maybe guide me, etc.? Or was it more from the organization or from internal? You know, there are people who reach out to you, right? I mean,
yeah,
if
yeah.
you don't reach out, they reach out.
Yeah.
What was that dynamic like for you?
I had both. I reached out to people, and there were people, you know, like my bosses, my managers, whoever. They were there to guide me through too. And plus, I don't think we should label just anybody, I mean, like your manager or your boss as the mentor, but you have to be open to learning from everybody. So everybody is your mentor at one point or the other, right? They are teaching you something. You learn something from them, don't you?
I mean,
but just because she's your boss or she's your mentor, your manager, that doesn't make her your mentor.
But that's a very
right.
broad definition of mentor. I mean, by that definition, everybody's a fucking mentor, isn't it?
Exactly, exactly. You just have to be open to learning from everybody.
Mm-hmm. So that's more like a attitude, right?
That
seems more like an attitude. Like
I agree.
Being positive. I mean, that reminds me of
being open to, you
know,
whatever
it
is.
I'm contrasting it to like you know, how some people have this being positive no matter what the situation, they're always positive.
Yeah, I mean, what's the point of being negative? What do you gain out of it, really?
Negative,
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm generally negative, so...
Yeah, see, what do you gain out of it? You tell me.
I mean, I don't gain anything out of it, but I think it's just the way I'm wired a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Even when something bad really happens and I'm like, fuck man, Simran is right, like, you know, there is nothing for me to gain from the situation by being negative. I still can't take that leap to being positive, you know.
Inner work, my friend.
Inner work,
yeah. You just have to work on yourself and just constantly say that, you know, there's no point in me of thinking negatively about the situation. I might as well just look at it positively. That's it.
I think there is a... So I'm sure you've read the book called You Can Heal Your Life.
Yes, yes, yes. Not entirely, but I have.
All right. So can you tell us what the book is about and...
Mm-hmm.
you know, you're learning from it. Maybe my inner growth will start from there.
Basically, you can heal your life. Like, you have it within you to heal yourself from whatever it is, whether it's an illness or whether it's anything, just about anything. Your perspective, it lies in you. That seed lies in you. You can start from within you. And that's what I learned from that book. That's a great self-help book, honestly.
Is that your favorite book or?
One of my favorites.
What's your favorite book?
I don't have a favorite. Everything teaches you something, so I'm not going to pick one and say.
Oh my, you're too positive for me, man. Okay. I think today we're recording this on December 16th, right?
Mm-hmm.
17th. All right. Are you happy with the way you spent your last year? I mean, your this present year.
Oh, very. Honestly. It was very topsy-turvy. But it was great in a way. I had a lot of downs more than I had ups, but
this
it was great. Yeah, I learned a lot, like a book was thrown in my face, a self-help book sort of a thing. Yeah, but it was good.
I want to drill down a little bit on that positivity. Let me see if I can. so what do you think will get you to what do you think, is there a point that at least how do I contrast this? Let me contrast this with free speech. Okay, let me see if I can draw an analogy here. You know, there are some people who are free speech absolutist, right?
Mm-hmm.
They say anything is fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people can say anything they want because that is their right to be.
Yeah.
They have a right to free speech and they should be allowed for anything. But there are some people who say you cannot say fire in our crowded theater.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
mm-hmm.
where they draw the line. Free speech is fine, but this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Let me. Very bad analogy, but let me just if I project that on your positivity, like, is there a point where, or is there, do you think you have a situation where, you know, positivity is fine, but this is too much, man, like, fuck off or something like that? I mean, do you see yourself being in a situation where you think might, you know, this is not the time, or this is not, I can't be positive about this? Do you think about that at all?
Yeah, 100%. You think I was always like this, or that the things that have happened that have made me like this?
Okay. Without going into details, can you give us, like, I mean...
When I feel like some situation is getting super negative and I just want out of it, I shut myself from it. And I take my time off, I think about it, and then I step back in if I want to, or I just leave it to where it's supposed to be at. I just don't involve myself in it. That's it.
So mostly cutting off.
Yes, cutting off.
Disconnecting from that situation.
Previously, I used to enjoy getting involved in it and, you know, sorting it out. And
involved in negative situations, is it?
Yeah, like breaking it down and trying to see the positivity in it, etc., etc. Now I just don't. Now I just step out of it if it's becoming too much for me, because that's too much for my mental health and, you know, boundaries. So that's it. I step out of it.
Understood. What have you got planned for? I don't know. Are you the person who makes New Year resolutions? And are you the one? I don't know.
No, not really.
Do you have anything specific planned for next year?
The coming year is just to explore and go with the flow, because I have been somebody who's very strict with, you know, my regime or what I want from life, etc., etc. But now I just want to vinyasa. Vinyasa is basically going with the flow. That's something we learned in Rishikesh and we use it very often these days.
Okay.
Yeah. So vinyasa is a resolution.
You've really internalized all this.
It was a life-changing experience, and I mean it when I say it. I'm not just saying it because I'm recording a podcast,
mm-hmm.
but it was very different. Changed me as a person. It was a different vacation.
Understood. Actually, I didn't understand, but I can't understand.
You will only know it
once
when
I
you experience
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. What do you do when you're not, like, I don't know, when you're not dancing, or you said you work 24 hours, so
that was at Cult.
Yeah, so when you were at Cult, or when you were at your previous corporation, when you were not working, what were you doing in the 25th hour?
In the 25th hour?
I
like how you put that. Well, I have a social life.
You have, or you don't have one?
I have a social life.
Okay.
So yeah, friends, and sometime with family, sometime with myself, and movies, and different things. I'm a normal person in the end of it.
Really?
I do things that
a
other people do too.
A normal person doesn't go around saying I'm a normal
what
person.
What are you saying?
I'm joking. I'm obviously joking. So, do you have any favorite movie suggestions for us?
I like Ye Jawani Hai Deewani and Zindagi Na Milegi Dobara.
You're a Hindi movie buff, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Just on the on your previous work experience, one thing I did notice was, and this is public information, which is, I mean, see, generally, at least my impression is today, Gen Z, the Gen Z generation, they kind of, and this is my reading of it, they kind of distance themselves from corporations. I mean, my understanding is
they
Gen
don't
Z,
want to do 9 to 5.
Yeah, Gen Z distrusts large corporations, and I think millennials have this thing that, you know,
9 to 5.
I wouldn't say 9 to 5. At least that's my reading of it. That they want to be associated with a company which probably has meaning and impact and all that, and but they are willing to do. They are willing to do the grind. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Gen Z. I feel like a fundamental shift where let's just fuck that. That's, you know, I'm not really into it, and I'll just do it just to get my paycheck and do whatever else I want. Your case seemed very different for me, where
I'm both.
So my reading of that was you were pretty much open about, you know, working at, not only working at Cult, but I'm saying going above and beyond, you know, posting things publicly and saying, you know, look at me, I'm having so much I'm putting it very crudely maybe, but you can correct me. But, you know, look at me, I'm doing this at Cult and this is so much fun at Cult. This is so much, I'm having such a blast at XYZ.
Yeah.
Is my characterization correct? Maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong. First you can talk to that and talk about that, and then maybe how do you kind of view, you know, corporations and your identity involved, your identity being wrapped up in like a corporation, not yours per se, but any work that you do, you generally have your identity also kind of
merged into it. That is what you do for most of the day.
So like, how do you think about it? And
honestly, what I project on social media is what is actually happening. Like, I don't want to pick up the phone and be like, oh, promote this, promote that, and just show people what is really not. Right? So when you saw me, like, having a blast, I was having a blast. When you saw me off, then something else was going on. So, does that answer your question? Like, me being authentic to whatever?
I didn't get the impression that you're not being authentic. I was kind of surprised by, you know, I mean,
me having fun at a corporation.
No, that's not
okay.
People not having fun or people being slaves to their work, I think that part is a bit overblown. I don't resonate with that completely. There are some slavish elements to any job, but there are a lot of fun elements to any job as well. So
agreed.
I think popular culture classification of any and every job being a slave and any and every job being, you know, they're just doing it because they need, I think that's a bit far off. What I was surprised, at least by your post that I saw, was you were pretty open about it, in a sense, and when I drew that distinction between Gen Z not wanting to do, they don't want to associate themselves with the job, but you were doing it very openly.
Because I was very fortunate to be where I was. Like I told you, I was dancing. That's something I wanted to do, and plus I wanted to explore the corporate side of work, and I was getting to do that as well. And I mean, when you're doing what you love, nothing really seems like a burden to you, you know? Like you want to cut off and freelance or something. It never really seems like that. So I think, again, I was getting the best of both worlds. I was having the corporate experience that I wanted to develop my skills and understanding of how it works. Plus, I was dancing and I had like extremely wonderful colleagues, mentors, team, just about everything. So yeah, who can ask for more?
Can think of many people, but anyway,
I was very grateful for what I had, and I was very happy.
Do you do this gratitude practice as well?
Yeah,
like
I do.
What does that practice look like?
So I have a journal. I have a gratitude journal in which I write down things that I'm grateful for. What is my ultimate goal for the day, and my tasks for the day. And by the end of the day, I have to come back to the journal and tick off everything, and tick off how much water I've had, if I've worked out, if I've meditated, who have I been nice to that day, and what was the best part of my day. So this is what my gratitude journal holds.
Now the crucial question is, how long have you been making?
For a year.
Really?
For a year, yeah.
I'm really impressed.
Yeah.
Not that it matters. I'm sure you're not the one with your foundation, but I'm
telling you, I've been working on myself for almost a year now. Like, I want to be better than I was earlier. At least in my head, for myself.
Understood.
Yeah.
So, at what age would you like to die?
No particular age. I'm okay whenever it comes.
Even the next 20 minutes?
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Usually
I honestly believe that you're here to fulfill a purpose. And once your purpose has been met,
mm-hmm.
you go.
What is your purpose?
I don't know. I still have to discover it.
What if you don't discover your purpose?
Next lifetime then.
You believe in the... So you believe after we die, we will reincarnate into a next life, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, who knows?
Okay. What is it that... I was going to ask you, is there something that you... Before you die, is there something that you really wanted to do? We spoke about, you know, you having a plan.
Yeah.
And obviously you're working on that plan and, you know, I wish you all the best for that plan as well. Is there something today, as of today, that you see something that is very alluring, but maybe before you die, you'd really like to maybe take a shot at it, or is there something like that?
I want to bungee jump before I die. Well, I'm really scared of bungee jumping.
Bungee jumping is jumping out of an airplane, is it?
Or that's skydiving.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
My heart is very bad. Yeah.
Yes, I'm very scared of heights, so I want to conquer it before I die.
So. I'm still not sure. Like they,
you have like a rope tied around you, and you just jump off a cliff or something, like a height.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you planning to do that?
Yeah, I am. I want to do like scuba diving, skydiving, paragliding, everything. I want to try it all before I die. Hopefully.
You seem more to be like a traveler type. I mean.
I hated traveling, but I went to Manali March this year and I loved it, and I had to go back to the mountains, so I went back to Rishikesh and then did a trek to Kedarkanta, and then I'm back here. But I love traveling now.
What changed that? I mean, what made you? I mean, obviously time may be one of the factors, which you said you were working all the time, so you didn't have time to travel.
Well, I was very stringent with myself. Like I told you, like, you know, achieve this within this. You have to experience this within such a given time. I was that.
Like the bucket list.
Yeah, bucket list within a given time. Yeah, and if I hadn't met such a thing in such a time, it would really affect me in the head. Like, you're not good enough. How could you not do it? Things like that.
You suck. Okay.
Literally, that was my narrative in my head.
That's my record playing in my head.
But then I wanted to get out of that. And one way was just traveling. And then through traveling, you jump into adventures and see where that takes you. That free-spirited. I wanted to be free-spirited, basically.
Are you planning on traveling anywhere soon?
Yeah.
Is that like a top secret, or can you share?
Well, I'm planning it. I haven't planned it yet.
India or abroad?
Currently India. Let's see where that
leads
to.
What does a good relationship look? I mean, what do you think is a good relationship?
Oh, I was hoping you'd ask me that. Last night, I was watching a movie. I don't remember the name of the movie, but let me read it out to you. Hold on.
What else were you expecting me to ask you?
No.
Now that you mentioned that,
like,
you were hoping me to...
I don't know why I expected you to ask me that. I thought this would be like a dance and that sort of a podcast, but let me just read this out to you. This struck me. And this probably defines what love or a relationship should be, to me at least. But I hope when you say relationship, you mean two people ka relationship.
Doesn't matter. We can go with what we'll interpret that.
Okay. Just give me a moment. I will read it out to you.
I'm more into the three-person types.
Oh, God.
I'm joking.
Okay. So it said, the secret ingredient of the best love stories is a two-bit serving of solitude. I have myself, you have yourself, and we have one another.
I didn't understand that, actually.
I'll read it out again. The secret ingredient of the best love stories is two big servings of solitude. I have myself, you have yourself, and we have one another.
So solitude is loneliness,
solitude.
Right? I mean,
solitude here is basically peace.
Like
peace.
So you're at peace, I'm at peace, and,
yeah, and you're being yourself.
We're at peace together.
Yeah, you're being yourself, I'm being myself, and we are at peace at whatever it is. But we're together. So that to me is a relationship now.
I mean, as you move through life, I mean, I'm sure, let me just give you a situation, and maybe that also kind of encompasses
mm-hmm.
what you just said. I mean, obviously in life, there are so many ups and downs, and So, see, you want the other person just to be there for you, is it? Like, even in your like hard times, just, you know, I'm there for you and...
like a support system?
Like a support system.
Of course.
That's what you mean. By this, I'm trying to... Am I getting it right? Like, is that what the...
So it's just base. It's very plain and simple. You're at peace with who you are. The other person is at peace with who they are. And you'll just come together and make one good couple. That's it.
You'll really resonate
with each other. You really feel each other. And you're like best friends.
How do you work on that? I mean, how do you work on getting... What is that? How do... Let's say... Not me. Let's say you found... Let's say there's another person you want to... let's say there's another person that... I'm struggling to phrase this right, but let's say, forget you, let's say that there's a boy and a girl, alright, Indian version, alright, there's a boy and a girl, and fuck me, there's a boy and a girl, and they listen to this podcast, and they listen to what you've just said, and they're like, fuck man, I need to be in peace with myself, and you need to be, what do they do, like, how does one be in peace with oneself?
Well, you ask yourself if you're happy with who you are and what you're doing. And if that's a yes, then maybe you're in the right place. And I don't think you'll ever know. When you're in a relationship, the whole dynamic changes, right? As opposed to when you're friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe when you're in a relationship, your traumas and everything just uncovers itself a little more than what you already knew. And then you just work on yourself, you dive deep and deep and deep and you explore yourself. And hopefully in the process, the other person is doing so too. And then at one point you meet and you're like, you know, I know who I am, I'm at peace with it. I hope you know who you are and let's just make it happen. Magic.
Magic, huh?
Yeah. I don't think you'll ever know.
You're talking about me, I'll never know. People.
People. When I say you, I mean people.
People.
And that's what I think.
Mm-hmm. Are there like specific, gratitude was one thing that you mentioned, like, you know,
yeah.
Journaling mostly.
Journaling.
Are there any other practices that help you, like, I don't know, be the Buddha? I don't know.
I don't know if I'll ever be the Buddha, but meditation helps. Like just focusing for a couple of minutes in a day just helps me ground myself.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, journaling, gratitude, being kind.
Understood.
Yeah.
I noticed that, I think somewhere you wrote you've been watching a lot of Christmas movies.
Yeah. Don't ask me for the names, please. I watch a lot of them to remember.
I mean, I have this phase of watching rom-coms, and you just keep watching. You don't. They're all the same, right?
It doesn't matter. Right? Yeah. Happy ending.
They're all the fucking same. So even I won't remember the names. I watch one, then I watch another one. So is that the same with you or?
Yeah. I keep going.
You keep going.
Yeah. I sometimes don't even watch the trailer. I just dive into it.
Mm-hmm. So, what do you generally do on a weekend? I mean, today we are recording this.
I work on weekends mainly. Because I take classes mainly during the weekends. I chill during the weekdays.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you were teaching, I think you would have your classes early in the morning and then late in the night, I think. No? I mean.
So, that was in the first, say, quarter or half of CULT where I used to take offline classes. And yeah, I had morning or evening classes, so sometimes both. And then when I moved into the digital platform, we would shoot on a couple of days. And on the other days, I had the other work that I had to do.
So I take a few classes. I mean, I'm the student.
Mm-hmm.
Not dance classes, obviously,
mm-hmm.
but I suck at dancing. But so the trainers there have, they teach from 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. they're free.
Okay.
Did you have a situation like that or...
Well, initially, yes, but then I took up training. So I used to help in training other batches. And then I started up a format called Dance for Joy with another, with my manager. So both of us came up with this whole concept of Dance for Joy, which is low to medium intensity dance workout. Dance fitness is medium to high,
mm-hmm.
right? And we wanted to cater to the other side of the audience that needed low intensity training. So we came up with this whole format. So I was partially working on that, I was partially working on trainings, I was partially working on content creation, and sometimes scheduling classes for the other trainers. I've touched upon everything. So my afternoons were busy as well. So I used to take classes in the morning, evening sometimes,
mm-hmm.
and then my afternoons were filled with this.
Oh, understood. You
yeah.
like keeping yourself busy.
Yeah, yeah, I do.
Understood.
I have to be busy, otherwise I'll go mad.
Yeah, I mean, I think most of us would. On that note, is there anything else that you were expecting me to ask you besides the relationship question?
Not really.
I've noted here that you were part of the track team, right?
Track team? What is a track team?
I saw you doing the cartwheel.
When?
Was that you? Or was that some other girl? I have no idea, man. Do you do the cartwheel? Have you done the cartwheel?
Yeah, in college.
Yeah, in college.
Yes.
Was that, I mean, was that like a one-off thing or were
you
No,
we were rehearsing cartwheels and different stunts.
For dance or for...
For dance.
Oh, for dance. Huh?
Yeah.
I think I saw a photo or a video. Obviously a video, I mean, you can't...
Yeah, if you scroll down my profile, you'll find me doing a cartwheel.
Cartwheel, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I saw that one and I think that was on a track field.
Yes, oh, that, yes, yes. That was in college.
Huh.
We were practicing different stunts. Like backflips and all.
But you were not like part of the... I mean, you were not into running and...
No.
Not in sports per se.
No. I wasn't into sports.
Understood. Anyways, on that note, Miss Nazare.
Yes.
Am I pronouncing that right?
Nazare.
But
I respond to both.
Miss Nazare, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
It was wonderful having you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.